We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa, not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A for effort, Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Chris Sims can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of
and Robbie the Degenerate.
Our Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tobin and Leroy as we take you up until 10 o'clock this morning. A lot to dive into. I still got to tell you how I ruined Pat Riley's weekend.
First official Tua week.
First official Tua week. And we'll get into this because, you know, there was a lot of reaction nationally, Leroy. I was, you know, tuned into the pregame shows this weekend and, you know, had on the background. And what do I see up there but blubbering Ryan Fitzpatrick? I was like, oh, here we go. Everybody going to be feeling sympathy for the guy with his giant beard.
No, not really.
Oh, trust me. It was coming.
Think he did it for people to feel sympathy?
I don't know what he did it for.
Maybe it was just his emotions at the time.
Maybe it was. I mean, you hold him in check a little bit. There are times when emotion is proper and the times when emotion is a little bit much.
You kid, that's not how emotions work.
It's how emotions work, my friend. Look. All right, so for example, this weekend, watched Khabib Nurmagomedov dice through Justin Gaethje. What a performance that was. What a performance. Gets down on his knees. Cries in the middle of the octagon. First fight without his father. His father just died. You know, doesn't have his father in his corner. Didn't have his father in his life preparing for this fight. What can he do? That's in the moment. All right. It's not 24 hours after a plan that was supposed to happen happened all along, and you had time to you get asked questions and you have a big pity party.
Hold on. The whole point of it was not, he knew that day was coming. The part that caught him off guard was he had played well the last couple of weeks and was shocked that it happened at that moment.
That's
the whole message.
Yeah, and
which
then
is was... fine. Which is fine. Here, do you have any doubt that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the consummate professional moving forward?
No, I don't know. Depending
on the Cowboys.
For the Cowboys?
Are you serious? Really? You turned that quick on somebody?
He turned.
First of all, what is
no,
turned?
No, he didn't.
What is turned?
Like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, he's cool. He's a Cosmo professional. Great for Tua to learn.
It was all fake.
And then
he's a consummate professional when he gets to ball out. He's like Deion Waiters. When Deion Waiters is the starting shooting guard. It's all good in Deion land when Deion's the starting shooting guard.
That's not how it works.
He was pumping up the crowd. Tua was in the game. Yeah, look at me.
So
I'm supporting my guy.
Fitzpatrick is the same as Deion.
Without the gummies.
Yeah, he's a lot like Philly cheese, except without getting high on the team plane.
Wow, man.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, Philly cheese. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Philly cheese, same cheese.
Thank God I didn't play football during the Tobin and Leroy era.
He might as well have pulled the Hassan Whiteside where he says, there's a lot of teams that could use a quarterback. He might as well have done that in the press conference.
Really?
Yep. Oh. Which he kind of did. He sent out the bat signal basically to Jerry Jones. Like,
you
come get me.
There's a difference between can't and not allowed.
Yeah, there's a difference between not being able to throw the deep ball, not being allowed. That's basically what he said.
Really?
Yep.
He can't throw the deep ball.
Nope. Yeah, he's saying he would probably tell you he's not allowed. He wouldn't pull that move.
Really? You think that he's just fake? Look, I have 17 years of proof that the guy's been nothing but a professional.
Do you? I mean, you've
thrown it all away because of emotions of a. You know, maybe he went into it saying, I'm going to handle this like a pro. I'm going to do, you know, I knew this was coming or whatever. And then his emotions got the best of him.
Oh, apparently, this wasn't the first time. He did it in Tampa. He did it with the Jets, too. Like, once he got benched, he threw that same pity party.
Yeah, he throws that same pity party every single time.
Can I ask you a question?
He's really not the kind.
Is it okay to be a little down because you lost your job?
I mean, you should be more used to it than anybody in the history of football.
Really? So just because you're used to it means you just accept it?
17 years, dude.
But I'm saying, just because you're used to it means you just accept it?
I just think it's a weird...
If he accepted it the way you want him to, he probably would have never been a quarterback for this long.
It's a weird level of delusion to think that all of a sudden this is your...
Everybody's like that in sports, dude. Are you crazy?
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Hassan thinks he should be a 30-10 guy. Philly Cheese thinks that if he was on a team that really used him, he could be a 25-point-a-night guy.
Both of those guys are at least still in their 20s. Like, if Fitzpatrick was 27, I'd have a lot more understanding of it than if he was 37. But
that feeling doesn't go away. Dude, that feeling to want to play never goes away. I don't care how old you get. There's not an NFL player that sits on that sideline and goes, I'm happy with being a backup. Well, I'll just take cash my check. I'm getting those years in.
Well, guess what? Maybe he, what is he, Peter Pan and believes in Tinkerbell? It's time to grow up. You're not a lost boy anymore.
I hate you. You're the worst. You are the worst. And Robbie, the fact that you're sitting there co-signing this ridiculousness.
Wow. It's not as ridiculous as this. You want to hear some dumb stuff?
Oh, here you go.
Robbie, hit the ID, and then we'll get to this dummy Matt Hasselbeck.
Why are we listening to Matt Hasselbeck?
He's on NFL Live.
Miami Heat game.
Got it! Goran Dragic did the complete 360.
WAXY South Miami and WSFS HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
I mean, both of those Hasselbecks can kick the sharpest of rocks.
Yeah,
his brother was
calling the Canes game.
His brother called the Canes game this week and is like, you know, offended that there's the most obvious pass interference is called pass interference. So clear that he had money on Virginia because he's like, I don't see the pass interference. Meanwhile, the dude basically suplexed.
It was Pope.
I was just like, what? What do you mean that's not pass interference? What are you talking about, Hasselbeck? And that was the terrible Hasselbeck. You know, so then they get to the actual Hasselbeck with talent. You know, it has one of the most infamous gasps before an overtime of all time. We're going to get the ball. We're going to score. All right. Well,
he threw a pick six.
Yeah. And so he gets up there and, you know, he's the quarterback on the show. You know, closer to being the old vet than he is being the prime guy that he used to be. And so what does he do? He gets up there and he starts flapping his gums and he's like, oh, well, you know, I think this is going to be a problem. Like, first of all, he blatantly comes out and says, this isn't Brian Flores' decision. He thinks this is a decision from ownership. And then is saying this is going to cause a rift in the locker room. And I'm just like, well, where do you get off like saying that? You just gonna say, like, so you've read nothing about the decision because there's been reporting that says this wasn't Stephen Ross's decision, that this was completely a coach's and GM's decision. But you decide, let me put on my little conspiracy hat, and then you're gonna be like, oh, I automatically assume this is gonna be a problem in the locker room when you don't know that.
Well, I said the same. I said similar thing, but you know, I kind of said it differently in that when you're a coach and you come into a new organization, right? And the first thing, one of the first things a new coach will tell you is everybody has to earn it, right? It's just interesting to me how moments like this, when everybody knows this was what was going to happen, okay, how this is going to play out when it happens now, right? And to me, it could all be settled by the coaches saying, look, this was the plan all along. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, Fitz did anything wrong. This was the plan before the season started, and we're sticking with our plan. And I think that because they trust Flores and because they think, you know, they respect him based on what he's done, that he'll be able to explain it, you know, in a way that nobody, like the locker room won't be lost. But, you know, when your first message, usually with a new coach, is say everybody got to earn it, and then have a situation like this, I could see where he's coming from, but that's an outsider looking in. I mean, he wouldn't know anything about Flores if Flores came and had a conversation with him. We've heard this guy talk every week, so it's a little bit different.
Well, let's hear from Matt Hasselbeck, who decided to whiz on the Dolphins parade this week.
I think this is mismanaged in a big way, and they're caught off guard because it's probably not a coaching decision. Like, Brian Flores can get up there and say, hey, this is my decision. I made this decision. I just think he's a good, loyal soldier. You know, I have a ton of respect for Brian Flores. This just doesn't smell like a coaching decision to me. Go back to last week, Sam. 24-0, Randy. 24-0 in the game with 8 minutes to go in the game. Does Tua come in? No. Ryan Fitzpatrick stays in the game. They put Tua in with 2 minutes to go. If he was really this close and this ready, and you were really expecting for him to be your starter next week and every week after that, you would have gotten him in there with 24-0,
right,
with 8.5 minutes to go in the game. And let's talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're 3-1 in their last four games. Ryan Fitzpatrick is seventh in QBR in the entire NFL. Since week three, he's number one in the NFL in QBR. So to me, I think you've done a huge disservice, obviously, to Ryan Fitzpatrick, but to Tua. Like, let Tua, when the Dolphins lose a game, you can pin that loss on Ryan Fitzpatrick, or maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt on the field. Let Tua come out there and be the hero. Instead, what has happened is now I think that locker room kind of resents that Tua was just sort of given this job. And so whoever made this decision, I believe this decision goes above the head coach.
Yeah.
Whoever made this decision, I think, doesn't quite understand that the loyalty in the locker room, it's not to the logo on the side of your helmet as much as it is to the heart and soul of your team. And on this team, so far this year, it's been Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes,
it has. And so I think it's a disservice to everybody.
All right, I'll break it down because you're going to do silly talk.
I'm not doing silly talk. I think he did the silly talk.
Here's what I'll say where an outsider looking in, right, doesn't get the full picture. Because one of the things that, although he says, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the heart and soul and the beat of that team, you have to understand that one of the reasons why I think he's replaced is because of the opportunities down the field and having a quarterback that can get it there or keep your wide receivers engaged. The other thing is that for the most part, everybody on that team has had nothing but good things to say about Tua.
Yep.
They all love him. So that makes that transition also a little bit smoother. Plus, there's nobody in that locker room that did not know that eventually this was going to happen.
Well, that's the thing. Let me finish. Go ahead.
It doesn't normally happen after two wins. That's what's throwing everybody off. That's it.
But that's why I feel like when they say, oh, this is going to lose the locker room, like, can we give the players a little bit more credit? You don't think that they know that they play with a guy who's going to be the face of the franchise. Like, they know Leroy.
Oh, okay.
They're not idiots who are just like,
hey, man,
but Fitz is the guy. Like,
no.
Oh, hey, week to hey, week, dude, we're going to go in this situation.
Hold on. Like, this little dream world you live in is nonsense.
It's not a dream world. Because I'm living in reality.
I'm telling you from a player's perspective. But you still say I'm wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong.
I'm telling you now, all the players care about is winning. Okay? I don't care about the future. I don't care about the damn past. I care about we are winning right now.
Didn't say that, though.
That's what the players care about.
But do they not know?
Wait, hold on. So if you do anything to upset the apple cart, it better result in wins. That's what the players are thinking right now. If you change anything after you've been winning, okay, then it better keep it going. If it doesn't, I don't have time for your future. I might not be in your future. So why would I give a rat's ass about 3 years from now when I'm trying to win right now? That's a player's perspective. Now, we will accept the change. We understand what the future is. But it's about now.
Okay. And again, I don't disagree with you on that. I know that's how players think. However, I think that we also do a big disservice to players to not give them the credit to realize, oh, in this case, this guy is the face of the franchise. He's not just a guy.
You know, like
he is, again, Leroy. I'm sorry.
Again, that's your future. Okay? If everything's rolling right now, right? Look, coaches, players, every sport that you've ever heard about or followed, everybody's a creature of habit. Right? Most sports, creatures of habit. So when you go into a situation, right, and you're winning, most players don't want to change it, even though they understand what's going on. But for you to say they understand Tua is the future, nobody cares about that. They care about winning right now. So if Tua can come in, and I told you why they probably replaced Fitzpatrick with Tua, okay? I understand football enough to understand why the change is happening. But it has nothing to do with, oh, he's going to be the face of the franchise. You got 40 guys in that locker room. Don't give a damn about that. Oh, all they care about is winning.
Leroy, we cannot sit here and act like that position and where he is picked doesn't have a different level of treatment than Von Ginkel or anybody else in the locker room. There's still that. Okay, but I am. And to think that these guys don't know that is silly talk.
Okay, but for you, no. What you're saying is these players need to understand that Tua is the future.
I'm not saying they have to understand. I'm saying they do.
Nobody in that locker room cares.
Okay.
They want to win. Why would I care about your future 3 years from now or 2 years from now? Why would I care? Because guess what? If I'm a running back, right? This is the honest truth. If I'm a running back and I'm in my fifth or sixth year, right? And then you put a quarter in to get his feet wet or to whatever, and we start losing games, that could impact what you think of me.
Great. Cool story. Except the running back who has 5 and 6 years, they've healthy scratched him for 2 straight weeks when Fitzpatrick was.
I'm not saying that guy.
Honestly, Leroy, most of their team is young. And that's the thing, is like, just because it's football and it's week to week and all that type of stuff, they're also at a position where, hey, this whole thing was supposed to be a rebuild.
All right,
it's
I'm telling you exactly how it is.
But who are the guys that you're talking?
You don't care because you want Tua to play.
First of all, it has nothing to do with me wanting Tua to play. Most of the Dolphins are young, okay? And it's a plan of them developing together. And whether they like it or not, most of them, they're going to sink or swim with that guy being their quarterback. Not 4 more weeks of Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Like that's...
I'm telling you, that's you're not accurate. All players, I don't care if you're young, old, or indifferent. All you care about is winning. And although you are a professional, okay, you don't want to change what is working. Maybe not to the level you wanted to, but if we won our last two games and we won them in convincing fashion, right? Now we want to take a chance and hope it works out. Because, you know, in the end, although I do believe that the Dolphins always had this plan, and believe it or not, it would have been better if they were 1-5, because everybody would accept it a little bit more and the team would accept it a little bit more, but you're not. Okay?
But hold on. But can I tell you something that's silly about this? Can I tell you what's silly about this?
What's silly about it?
If Tua comes out this week, if he comes out and he balls out,
yep,
forgotten.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so stupid.
No, it's not.
That's
no,
so not. Dumb.
No, it's not.
That's so stupid.
Dude.
He just needs to come out and have one good week.
As a player, I don't care about your future. I'm trying to get mine right now.
Okay.
So is every other guy.
But do you see how silly that is not to see the vision of that? Like, it's a week-to-week thing.
If it works out, fine. But from the standpoint of right now, okay, as a player and as a team in that locker room, you go, we've been winning. Why are we changing?
Why are we changing? We got that win against the worst team in football.
No, it does. There you go. All right.
Robbie, hit us with some headlines from our sports desk.
Oh, yeah, but I'm going to need some Modelo Especial after that one, because it is the perfect beer for the home tailgate, and it is brewed with the fighting spirit. Oh, and we got to do weather reports now. Exogen, well, I'm turning into Solana now. The Exogen Weather Center. It is 79 degrees, partly cloudy, and we are about 8 minutes away from actual sunrise.
Well, that's great. I love the sun rising.
I see the windows are wet, so it must have rained a little while ago.
A little? Robbie!
Do we live in Seattle? Why is it raining?
Well, somebody just poured a bucket of water over the state of Florida and saturated all of Florida.
When did hurricane season extend into November? What is this?
Well, I'm watching the TV now. We got DirecTV here in the studios, and it's crystal clear picture. No choppiness so far, so that's a weather report. Yeah, it's been a monsoon. It was raining in that Canes game on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, you could see it. Like they would be like when they went into halftime, it looked like it was the rest of the game was going to be a slop fest.
Yep.
Because it was raining pretty hard.
I was worried about the dreaded lightning delay. I'm like, oh my god.
I was too. Especially they felt like that game was crawling along. Especially in the second half. Gosh. It was taking time.
Well, that's what happens when you know what also makes a long game? When you have a lot of incomplete passes, running the hurry up. No. So you have like 8 seconds off the clock and you got a punt. And the clock has stopped.
The Dolphins, they got a win on Sunday. Well, they weren't actually playing, but the Houston Texans lost again. That draft pick. Woo! 1-6.
They suck. They suck.
Hey, man. Like, I mean, who sucks more? The whole state of Texas is pretty bad. Because Dallas, come on.
I mean, Houston's better than Dallas.
Just because Dallas is not. I mean, they're not, though.
Okay. Okay, but that. Come on.
You see,
what, he's 25-3 to Washington?
Did you see Sour Push JJ Watt yesterday?
No. Oh, I did like, see that.
That was great.
What did he do?
He's just like, what happened out there, JJ? Well, they caught the ball that they threw.
They would show him every time.
I'm moving all my attention to TJ.
Yeah, TJ was a monster on Sunday.
Oh my goodness! Like what? Like he's. I've never seen a guy run more free into an offensive backfield than him. He's never blocked.
It's true.
Only one Watt can be good at a time, apparently.
I guess.
Oh, I just saw that Andy Dalton hit it again. Oh.
Hey, he did everything but order the check.
Did you see McCarthy? Oh, let's take a break. We're way over. Mike McCarthy got upset with some of his teammates.
Well, you can't say let's take a break and then you keep talking.
But we're way over, so I got to take a break.
Right.
That's why
I'm talking.
Well, no, that's not how radio works. I got to, you know, tease him up.
All right.
You know, give him a little tickle.
All right. I want to tickle you right on your nose.
Back after this.
I'm tickled, Brucey.
Born to rock around the clock. You can't say I'm not. And in case you forgot, I'm the king of rock.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 7-9 to the Ticket. Hey, listen for your fantasy football reports. Weekdays here, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Who's hot? Who's not? We'll tell you. Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Also, be listening today at 9 o'clock as we'll be giving you a chance to win a Nest Audio from Google. You're just going to be listening for the keyword. You're going to text it to 20357 for your chance to win. Get the latest sports news from the ticket with a little help from Google. Just say, hey, Google, play 790 the ticket. Your chance to win is coming on up around 9 o'clock. You listen for the keyword and text it to 20357. So plug that into your phone. Messenger data rates may apply. So be listening for that. 9 o'clock, we'll be giving that away coming up. You can text the show at 786-360-0790. Text on the ticket are driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. Text writes in, just emailed Len complaining about Tobin. Now, don't worry, he won't get back to you.
Hey, yeah, I'm like.
You have a better chance of Mark Stein getting back to you.
Hey, tell exactly. him Leroy's looking for him.
But the thing I wanted to talk about, so did you see after the hit yesterday on Andy Dalton, after the game, Mike McCarthy was pissed because he said nobody on his team stood up for Andy Dalton. Like he said that we speak all the time about playing for one another, protecting one another, and when he saw like no players go after anybody on the Cowboys, they could just kind of just let it happen. He's like upset. He's upset by that. That they okay. just let Andy Dalton just kind of lie there.
Can I tell you why?
Sure.
He just got there. Okay? They all feel the way they do about Dak, right? Dak's their guy. Dak's the guy they've been with. They've been all these battles with. It could have to do with his temperament.
I think actually earlier in that game he did like chew out the lineman.
Okay. I'm just letting Again, you know. Like Yo, dude, you're not Dak. Like, I'm just saying, that's kind of how you – it's a lot different earning the respect of the players than the coaches, okay? You can do everything the coaches want you to do and progress the way they want you to, but if you don't have the support of the other 10 men on the field, it doesn't matter, okay? And that's just the reality of sports in general, that – I don't want to say this to, and I want, don't want people to take it the wrong way. You don't owe the coaches nothing, okay? If you don't have the respect of the other guys you're on the field with, the guys that put that extra block in, that extra effort in, if you're a quarterback, dive for the football, or make sure that the defender doesn't intercept it when you throw a bad ball, stuff like that. That's earning it with your teammates. And that's something that even coaches sometimes overlook. You know, sometimes, you know, coaches tend to overlook to think that, oh, this guy's ready to play. And those other 10 guys go, no, he ain't ready. Right? So there's a fine line with that. Sometimes when I see things like this, I look at it as, oh, this is a guy that came in and demanded the respect of the guys he was playing with without earning it. And that's what it looks like.
I'm not saying this is the case.
You think
Red Rifle's got it like that? Like he's just coming in demanding stuff?
I'm just saying, like, when you've been a starting quarterback, you think you can come into any huddle when it's your turn and just demand respect. It doesn't always work like that, right? Like, Tom Brady went to Tampa, right? He was probably assuming he could go right in that huddle and demand respect.
He probably can though. Like it's a difference between being
I just use that for an example.
Like if you're not gonna.
How long was Red Rifle the quarterback? What, 7 years?
I think even longer than that.
Even longer than that, right? He's never gone into a huddle in almost a decade and had to demand anything. So it's a new thing for him too. So sometimes that's how that plays out.
But if in this case he's talking about a guy getting knocked the bleep out, like aren't most guys going to look at that and say,
not,
yeah.
Not necessarily. If you really, like for example, when Dak got hurt, look at how the Cowboys, you know, were over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that was earned over the years, over the games that they played together, whatever, right? Sometimes it takes a minute or a while. It takes something that you do on the football field for other people on the field or on your team to say, okay, that guy's got my respect, right? Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. And that happens in every – it's not unique to football, right? If a person comes in to your job place and the boss gives them all these, you know, credentials, most of the other workers say, he ain't done that for me. Let's see what he does here. Well, it's the same thing in football. Just because a guy comes highly regarded doesn't mean you're just going to, you know, assume that. He's got to earn it with you. He's got to earn it with – and so – that's why sometimes in these situations, it doesn't necessarily come across. It comes across as that, but it's more of along lines of, hey, he just got here, man. You know, let's have him earn it. And a lot of times you don't know he's that hurt.
Texter writes, Leroy, would DK Metcalf have caught you?
He wouldn't have to run 90 miles, my brother. 90 yards. Because after about, I say my cutoff is 40 to 50, and then I'm in survival mode.
Another text writes in, damn, so now we have unwritten rules in football?
No. No, we don't have unwritten rules. That's an unwritten rule of life, man. You go to any job you've ever had, if your boss came to you and said, we hired this great guy. He don't just come in and just assume what he's got had the last job, right? He doesn't assume that. He's got to some level earn it with the new people he works with the new company he works with. That's no different. Just because you've been a starter for the Bengals for the last 8 years, don't mean you can just come and assume the reins. You know. Now again, there are some exceptions to the rule. Okay, when Brett Favre was bouncing around, he got everybody's full attention, right? When Tom Brady went to Tampa, everybody's full attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys that have it.
Yeah, I'm sure, and a lot of that cachet comes with winning. If it's
okay,
Dalton
right.
is just
right.
Know, right. Win some divisions with the Bengals right. and get bounced.
He's right, so that's just kind of, you think Ryan Tannehill had to earn it? Absolutely.
Probably.
Right. He came from the Dolphins. They ain't never won, right? Everybody knew what the comments were about Ryan Tannehill when he got to Tennessee. Oh, probably he's going to be a good backup. You know, he's played, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, man, just Tannehill, right? When they replaced their quarterback with Tannehill, that was kind of a smooth transition.
Yes.
And now you can't hear anybody say a bad word about Tannehill there. He earned it. They just said, what do they have to assume? Nothing. He earned that.
We'll take a quick break. Get text show at 786-360-0790. Back after this.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy and Robbie the Degenerate.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. I got to tell you guys how I ruined Pat Riley's weekend coming up in about 20 minutes. I'll tell you.
I'm like, we got a text. I got a random text on Friday.
I ruined his weekend.
And I was like, oh, boy.
I ruined his weekend, and then I ruined his weekend even more. I didn't even realize it. But I want to save that. We'll get to that in the top of next hour. Did you watch UFC this past weekend, Leroy? Did you watch Khabib dice through Justin Gaethje?
I watched that, and I got to tell you, like, all these fighters that get in the ring look like they're in the best shape of their lives, cut up, ripped,
yep,
flexible, all that. It's just a matter of time before he chokes you out. You can wail on him, you can beat, you can punch, you can kick, you can have the perfect game plan, but you're gonna get choked out.
It was amazing. It was such a. It was.
How does he wiggle himself into these positions? Because it comes so fast.
Well, that was the thing that impressed me most about him is he was walking Justin Gaethje. First of all, Justin Gaethje was like going at this where he's like, he was like, you know, not going to get taken down. Like he was not the same guy that was fighting Tony Ferguson.
He wasn't very aggressive though. He was on the, in the defensive mode, which made it worse.
And then Khabib's just like, okay, cool. I'm going to walk you down, punch you right in the face. And then I'm going to, you know, jump and try and break your arm. Didn't have enough time in the first round. Second round, did the exact same thing. Threw a flying knee right at his head, and then just threw the triangle right over his neck and made him go sleepy sleep. Which, by the way, referee, like dude, he tapped like a gazillion times.
Well, he would miss the tap. Like he would hit him on the head, and then he was just tapping air, like because he was trying to tap and he couldn't. There's nothing to tap.
Referee's just like, is he out? And then you saw Justin Gaethje. He was night out. He was he was sleeping in the corner.
It's amazing because one of the things I realize is, especially in MMA, you can do it in boxing, but in MMA, you cannot be a defensive fighter, right? Because you empower the other guy to be aggressive when he doesn't feel that there's anything you're going to do to resist him. And that's what happened. Oh, he's not going to take me down. Meanwhile, he's just wailing at you because he knows he's not going to get hit.
He was so good. And then you find out afterwards, Robbie, can you give me a Khabib after the fight? He's talking to John Anik. And, you know, it kind of surprised everybody. And you knew it was very noticeable, though, while the fight announcer was happening, he was taking off his gloves. And they don't do that. That's more of a boxing thing. They don't do that in MMA. Because, you know, you don't have, like, these big mittens. You can still hold stuff and whatnot. So usually you keep the gloves on. And so you very much notice, like, he's trying to take his MMA gloves off. You're like, oh, is he about to – that's a thing, like, in MMA. Like, you leave the gloves in the ring.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, is he about to retire? And here was Khabib.
It was my last fight here. I know only one thing, what I want from UFC Tuesday. You guys have to put me on – number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world because I deserve this. And UFC undisputed UFC lightweight champion, 13-0, 13 in UFC, 29 in all my pro MMA career, you know. Oh, I think I deserve it. And thank you, guys. Thank you, coach. I love you so much. My teammates, Ali Abdulaziz, Rizwan. Oh, alhamdulillah. Today is my last fight here in the UFC.
So he announced his retirement, and then they didn't have that in that clip, but he said also his mother made him promise that this was going to be his last fight. She doesn't want him fighting without his father alive.
Right.
So Mama Khabib is said no more, because there was a lot of talk that he was going to go for 30-0. That was the big mark, that he was going to win this fight. Then everybody thought he was going to fight GSP in like a big goat battle. Who is the goat for 30-0? And he's just walking away now. He's done. 29-0. He's walking away. I kind of believe him too. I don't think he's coming back.
Well, he doesn't seem like the guy that would play with that.
Yeah.
Right. He's not pulling the Conor.
No, I don't think so. Now, look, he is in a very emotional state. Does he come, you know, does he take 2 years off and then like things change? Maybe. But I think all of his reasons seem very legitimate right now that he's stepping away.
Somebody texts in, why does Khabib have the head the size of a person that's 6'6"? He does have a big dome.
He's so scary though. Like nobody could stop it.
Nope.
And he looked at Justin Gaethje. He went through him like a buzzsaw. It was crazy. John Jones was not happy about all this goat talk this week though. He was like, are you effing kidding me? Because goat talk. He's had 4 title fights. Been champ since I was 19.
I know. Yeah, but you so can't mad. Stay clean.
Can't stay clean. That's the
people forget about you. You keep getting suspended.
Keep getting suspended. Keep getting arrested. I agree with John. Like, look, John's the best guy I've ever seen do it. But
is it better?
But yeah. Everybody loves Nurmagomedov.
Question: Is it better to be the GOAT at a heavier weight class because of the competition?
A lot of people regard 155 as the best division, the deepest division.
Okay.
But John's been doing it for for so long. John's taken out, he's taken out two eras. Like, that's right. How good the guy is.
Right, but the problem is that he keeps getting suspended. It lost its luster.
Daniel Cormier goes to John Anik because they were doing their top five goats afterwards, and John Anik has John Jones on top. He goes, oh, you like the dirty guys, eh, John?
Of course.
But then again, Daniel Cormier put himself on the goat list. You can't put yourself on the goat list. He put himself fifth.
Wait, you can't be on the goat list and you keep losing to the same guy.
Right. I'm like, listen, I love DC. He's
then if that's the case, if DC has himself fifth, John Jones better be above him.
Oh, he didn't have him
on
the list.
So if he's not going to include John Jones, he can't include himself.
Or Steve.
That's how that works, right?
He had John Anik had John Jones, and I think he had Anderson Silva. So he had all the juice flowing through.
And Anderson Silva's fighting next week.
I know. It's Anderson Silva's last fight, allegedly.
Right.
Allegedly. He's probably going to go box Roy Jones after this.
Here's what's going to happen. McGregor's going to come back, and then he's going to go after Khabib.
So you think McGregor comes back, wins the belt, wins the vacant belt?
And then he's going to go after Khabib.
I can see it.
But Khabib won't. I just don't see him as the guy that would come back, especially for Conor.
I don't think so either. He hates Conor's guts.
Right.
He even said, I think, in the post game, he goes, hey, Poirier, Conor, they fight each other. I shook them both out.
Right. Even when he explains what happened, it sounds gruesome.
Yeah, he goes, I shook these guys out. It means nothing.
I make him tap
machine. Poor, it sucks for Gaethje. Gaethje tapped, and nobody even saw it.
So he had to, right.
He's like, all right, he got me.
Somebody said he waited till the dude was drooling.
Oh my God, it was so bad. I was surprised he got up as fast. Like, he came to pretty quickly. And then he's so adorable because he's just like, this is great. I got choked out. He goes, I only care when he goes, choked out, all you do, little nappy poo. He goes, you get knocked out, that's damage. He goes, I'm ready to fight in 6 weeks. I was like, what?
Lungs is not Khabib. Lungs, he says, look, I already got choked out by that guy. There's nobody else could do anything worse to me than he did. I mean, hey, man, he takes your soul, right? Khabib takes your soul. Like, you can say what you want about all these guys. Like, Khabib took the loudest trash talkers and humbled them. How much did he humble Conor?
No, I mean, he really, in that night, he humbled him. I don't know if he humbled him for the rest of life.
Right. I can just see it now. I did not feel tap, and he's still choking Conor out.
Oh, man. It was crazy. And the other thing is, you know, he's leaving. He looks like he's getting better. Like, his striking is getting better. It's such a, you know, it was so impressive. Like, it really was. If he does leave on that, what a way to go out. It was brilliant.
I mean, do you foresee him losing? That's the thing.
I don't. No, like, and this is the thing. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, Justin Gaethje's the guy who's going to beat him. I actually picked against Khabib the previous two fights. I picked Conor to beat him. I was wrong. I picked Dustin to beat him. I have a very soft spot in my heart for Dustin, so I'd probably pick him with my heart too much in that one. But this one, I was just like, nah, I just don't see. I'm done picking against the guy. Everybody thinks they have the answer. It's like Mayweather. You get in there, nobody has the answer. Like, right. I just had this feeling. I didn't think it was going to be. But that was more dominant. It was more dominant than the Dustin fight. It was more dominant than the Conor fight. Right. He was just like, no one was beating that dude.
Well, because the fact that at least the other two guys fought back and then got choked out, right?
Right.
Yeah. He didn't even fight. He's defensive the whole time. And Khabib was like, what? You're not going to swing?
He's like, I kicked him in the leg a couple times. They're like, oh, a couple more kicks. His Conor goes, oh, a couple more kicks. He won't be walking. It's like, oh, great. Well, he just took one more kick. He goes, okay, take you down, choke you. His legs had enough squeeze to choke him out.
Somebody said the Rans fight with John Jones was close. Was a close decision. Khabib has never even been close.
No, that's true. Look, John's had some, like the Gustafson fight. He's had the Thiago Santos fight. Like, he's had close fights. But also, Khabib's reign's only been, at the top, has only been, you know, a couple years, four fights. It's not like you have to give John credit for being at the top for this long,
especially in that division.
Yeah, and still nobody's ever beat him. But I do. I get what the guy's saying. But John's reign has just been since he's been 21 years old. It's been crazy.
Just because your reign is longer, sometimes it has to do with your division. If 155 is the best weight class, and Khabib has defended it for the last 4 years, then
I mean, look, he has an argument. If the steroid stuff weighs heavily on you, then he has a good argument. Right. But for me, I still think that John's the best guy I've ever seen do it. But Khabib is one of the thing is too with fighting and mixed martial arts, it's so different. Everybody's so good at so many different things. Like,
right.
I find it so silly to say this guy was the greatest at anything. Like, because all these guys are so good at so many things. Right. Like, Khabib's the best wrestler for sure. He's the best guy on the ground. Nobody's better than that guy. Right. Nobody. Not John. Not nobody. Not GSP. That guy's the best guy we've ever seen on the ground. But man, it was a thrill. And I love the afternoon pay-per-view. That was great.
Oh yeah,
that was a gem. We'll take a quick break. I'll get into how I ruined Pat Riley's weekend next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.